Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really tearing through your sources on a topic that honestly shows this really strange split in IT strategy.
Yeah, quite.
We're looking at just one acronym, three letters, MCP, and somehow it underpins these massive, multi-billion dollar financial systems, and it's dictating how we build responsible AI for the future.
It really is the definition of an IT paradox, isn't it? You've got these incredibly old, reliable, you know, super secure systems on one side.
Right.
And then on the other, you've got this super fast, disruptive AI stuff that needs totally new rules, new protocols. Our sources today show that managing both of these worlds, well, it all comes down to getting your head around this dual identity of the MCP server.
So that's our mission today, right? To stop you, the listener, from feeling totally overwhelmed by these, well, seemingly disconnected ideas, we need to unpack MCP, the master control program. That's the deep legacy mainframe thing. And MCP, the model context protocol. That's the new essential open standard for AI agents. Understanding how these two very different technologies meet, that's the key, we think, to smart IT modernization.
And let's make that distinction really clear right from the start. It's the aha moment you need. Master Control Program. That's a proprietary mainframe OS for the Unisys ClearPath Libre. We're talking ancient history in tech terms, probably older than many people listening.
Yeah.
Model Context Protocol, on the other hand, that's an emerging open standard. It's critical for how large language models can safely, you know, connect to external systems and tools. Chronologically, functionally, they're worlds apart.
Worlds apart, yet somehow both essential for big companies, especially in regulated spaces.
Exactly. Non-negotiable for both.
Okay, so let's start where it all began, with that resilient foundation, the legacy MCP, the master control program. We're talking about a system whose roots go back to Burroughs in the 1960s.
That's right, the 60s. It's kind of wild, isn't it?
It is wild. Systems design before we even landed on the moon are still running, like, the absolute core processing for major banks and logistics companies today.
It really speaks to the quality of that initial design. And what's fascinating, based on the sources, is just how pioneering it was back then. MCP was actually the very first operating system written entirely in a high-level language.
Oh, really? Not assembly?
Nope. First ESPAL, later NUWP. That was totally radical at the time, and it really laid the groundwork for its famous stability.
But the real strategic kicker today isn't just that it's old and stable, it's this security feature, something architecturally unique, tagged memory.
Yes, tagged memory. And for you listening, this is probably the most critical technical detail to grasp about the legacy side. The hardware itself literally assigns a tag to every single block of memory.
Okay, a tag. What does that tag do?
That tag dictates what the memory can be used for. Is this block data or is it code that can be executed? The hardware enforces that distinction.
Ah, I see.
And that simple tagging system gives it this fundamental architectural security edge over, well, pretty much any modern by 86 system you can name.
How so?
Because the system automatically checks the boundaries of any memory access based on that tag. And because the core system software isn't written in assembly language, this architecture inherently prevents the most common type of malware attack, the buffer overflow.
Wow. So it's not just a software patch. It's built into the hardware design.
Exactly. The security is woven right into the fabric of the architecture. You're not layering security on top. It's there from the ground up.
Security by architecture, not just by software layer. Okay. So operationally, what's that environment actually like? We keep hearing these legacy terms, DMSII, WFL.
Right. That whole environment is just laser focused on reliability. DMSII is their hierarchical database system, very structured, very high fidelity data.
Okay.
And WFL, that's the workflow language. It's not just some simple scripting language. It's a sophisticated programming language designed specifically to control complex batch processing jobs.
And you mentioned resilience earlier. Why is WFL so important for that?
Because it's designed from the ground up to automatically manage and, crucially, restart complex multi-step jobs if anything interrupts them. You know, a system halt, a sudden load spike, whatever.
Oh, okay.
It just picks up where it left off.
Yeah.
That guarantees a level of operational continuity that's actually incredibly hard and expensive to replicate reliably with modern distributed systems. That's why it's still crunching core financial numbers.
Okay, so if this legacy MCP is so incredibly resilient, secure, reliable, why touch it? Why modernize it all? Why not just keep it humming away on its expensive proprietary hardware? Isn't moving it like lift and shift, introducing new risks?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the answer is the strategic goal isn't really retirement. It's about cost optimization and gaining agility. You want to keep exploiting that core reliability, that security foundation.
But get rid of the hardware costs.
Exactly. That proprietary hardware maintenance is a huge CapEx burden. The idea is to move the software environment, not just the data, onto commodity cloud infrastructure.
And the sources mentioned a couple of ways to do that.
Yeah, two main paths. First is virtualization, basically running the MCP software series on standard servers with hypervisors like VMware or Hyper-V, usually in a private cloud setup.
Okay.
But the path that's generally preferred now, the one that's faster and seen as lower risk, is rehosting or lift and shift, as it's often called, moving it onto infrastructure as a service platforms like Azure.
Now, let me push back on that risk point again. If we take this MCP software, which relies on tag memory hardware for its core security, and we stick it onto an Azure virtual machine, which is running on standard by 86 hardware, don't we lose that fundamental security advantage?
That's a really important clarification. What you're running inside that Azure VM isn't just the application code. It's the entire MCP software series environment. That virtualized layer maintains the functional characteristics, including the integrity checks and mechanisms that mimic the original architecture's security benefits.
Okay. So the software environment itself enforces those rules, even on standard hardware.
Pretty much, yes. You're exploiting the software's inherent resilience and security design, but you're running it on much cheaper, standardized cloud infrastructure. You shift your biggest cost center, that hardware CapEx, into OpEx, operational expenditure, usually based on how much processing power you actually use.
Right, that shift from CapEx to OpEx, paying based on usage, maybe min-PS consumption, that sounds really appealing financially. What about the people, though? Does everyone need retraining?
That's another key part of the immediate ROI, the return on investment. Operationally and financially, it's quick, partly because of staffing continuity. Your core application programmers, the folks working in COBOL, WFL, maybe Pascal, they don't need retraining. For them, the MCP environment looks and feels functionally identical. The big shift happens for the IT leadership and the system administration teams.
How does their role change?
Well, they move away from needing that super deep internal kernel level knowledge of the proprietary box. Instead, their focus becomes continuous capacity management and expert cloud orchestration. Meaning, since you're now paying per use, often by MEEs consumed per minute or hour, you need rigorous auditing. You need tools and processes to constantly monitor usage, forecast capacity accurately, and optimize those cloud costs.
Right.
The expertise shifts from maintaining the black box itself to expertly managing the cloud wrapper around it.
Fascinating shift in skills. Okay, so we've established this incredibly secure, albeit old, foundation. Now let's pivot completely. Let's talk about the other MCP. If the mainframe is the bedrock, this model context protocol seems like, I don't know, the smart nervous system we're building on top.
That's a good way to think about it. This second MCP, the Model Context Protocol, it's an emerging open standard. And it basically solves the biggest headache for using AI, especially LLMs, in regulated industries.
Which is?
How do you give a large language model access to your critical systems, your data, your tools, without it just running wild and causing chaos? MCP aims to be the answer. Think of it like a universal port, or maybe the USB-C for AI applications.
Okay, a standard connector.
Exactly. A secured, standardized connection layer that gives the LLM the hands it needs to interact with the outside world, but in a way that's safe, structured, and really importantly, stateful.
Stateful. Why is that so important?
Because for an AI agent to perform multi-step tasks reliably, it needs to remember the context of what it just did to figure out the next secure step. Traditional stateless APIs don't handle that well when driven by an unpredictable LLM. MCP builds that state management in.
So it's not the AI's brain, but the secure, context-aware protocol that lets the brain safely interact with the world. Why couldn't we just use existing APIs?
Because those traditional APIs weren't designed with the necessary governance layer in mind for being called by something as potentially unpredictable as an LLM agent. Model Context Protocol is explicitly designed to ensure operations are safe, structured, auditable, and stateful.
Can you give us a concrete example? Where is this being used?
The key real-world example right now is the Azure MCP server. It provides the framework for an AI agent to interact with sensitive Azure services, think Azure Storage, SQL databases, even Azure Key Vault, but using natural language commands.
So the AI can just ask to do things?
Sort of. Through this secure MCP framework, an agent could process a request like list all my storage accounts or run this KQL query against the logs. The crucial part is that the pathway for that interaction is standardized, secured, and auditable via the protocol.
And this is where the governance aspect becomes absolutely critical, especially if you're talking about accessing things like key vaults with secret keys in them.
Precisely. The core value proposition of the Model Context Protocol is governance. It integrates tightly with corporate identity systems like Microsoft Entra ID for strong authentication. That's table stakes.
Okay.
But the absolute killer feature, the critical control for any regulated environment, is a mechanism built into the protocol called elicitation.
Elicitation. Okay. Sounds important. What does that actually enforce?
It mandates user confirmation, a human-in-the-loop check. Before the AI agent is allowed to execute any tool or action that interacts with sensitive data or performs a critical function, especially something like retrieving a secret from Key Vault, elicitation kicks in.
Yeah.
It basically pauses the agent's action and sends a prompt to a designated human user saying, the AI wants to do X, which involves accessing Y-sensitive resource. Do you approve? The action cannot proceed without that explicit human confirmation.
That's huge. So that stops the AI from, say, accidentally deleting a database because it misunderstood a request or leaking secrets.
Exactly. It prevents an unintended LLM hallucination or maybe even a subtly malicious prompt injection from causing massive damage. It ensures the AI agent acts as a traceable, managed automation tool, not some uncontrollable rogue entity.
Which makes adopting AI much more feasible, much more scalable in sectors like finance or healthcare, where governance is paramount. The security is enforced right at the point of action.
Correct. It shifts security from just the perimeter to the interaction itself.
Okay, this brings us beautifully to the convergence point, the big strategic implications. We've got the super secure data foundation, the legacy MCP, now rehosted cost-effectively on Azure. And we've got this highly governed intelligence layer, the AI MCP, the Model Context Protocol. How do these two completely different MCP worlds actually meet and create new value for you, the listener?
They meet right there in that hybrid cloud setup. By rehosting the Unisys MCP legacy system on Azure, you've now physically and logically positioned that high-fidelity, trustworthy DMSII database right alongside modern Azure cloud services.
Okay, they're neighbors now.
Exactly. And the Model Context Protocol, the AI standard, then acts as the secure, governed bridge or interface between them.
Allowing what, specifically?
Allowing AI agents using natural language to securely query that legacy data foundation. An AI assistant could, through the MCP protocol with elicitation controls, access the real-time ClearPath data and answer a user query like, what's the current status of customer order number 12345?
Wow. Without needing to build complex, brittle, traditional API layers between the old mainframe world and the new AI world.
Precisely. It potentially leapfrogs a huge amount of complex and expensive integration work, providing a secure, natural language interface to that core legacy data governed by MCP and elicitation.
This feels like it requires a massive shift in thinking for IT departments, though. You can't just have your siloed mainframe team over here and your AI architects over there anymore.
Absolutely not. That skill bridging becomes non-negotiable. IT professionals need sort of bifocal vision now. Your legacy mainframe staff, they need to become experts in cloud operations.
Mastering Azure VMs, VNet integrations, cost capacity planning based on MIPS consumption, all that cloud stuff.
Exactly. They need to understand how to run and optimize that legacy environment in the cloud.
And what about the new AI architects? What's their crucial focus?
For them, it has to be security governance. They need deep expertise in integrating with identity systems like Entra ID, but more importantly, they must become masters of configuring and managing those mandatory elicitation controls within the Model Context Protocol architecture.
Because if they don't properly lock down the AI agent's ability to act on sensitive data,
the entire project is dead on arrival in any serious regulated business. You must have that human confirmation step for critical actions. It's not optional.
Okay, so let's pull this all together. Synthesizing everything from the sources today, what are these, say, three crystal clear, actionable priorities for organizations listening right now?
Okay, three things. First, modernize securely. Use that lift and shift, that rehosting approach, to get your ClearPath MCP systems onto the cloud quickly. Capture that immediate ROI from shedding hardware costs, but crucially, make sure you're configured to prolong the life of that inherent architectural security, the tag and memory concepts within the virtualized software environment.
Priority one, lift, shift, optimize, and preserve security. What's second?
Second is about people. Invest in cross-training. You absolutely have to bridge the knowledge gap between your mainframe specialists and your cloud and AI architects. The most valuable players in your IT organ going forward will be the ones who deeply understand the resilience of the old and the agility and governance needs of the new.
Right. Break down those silos. And the third priority, the future-facing one.
Third, standardize AI interaction. Make a strategic decision to adopt the Model Context Protocol as the mandatory corporate standard for all new AI agent implementations that need to interact with systems or data.
Why mandatory?
Because that's how you ensure consistent governance, auditability, and most importantly, security across the board, primarily through the rigorous application of those mandatory elicitation controls we talked about. Don't let every project invent its own potentially insecure way for AI to touch your systems. Standardize on MCP.
What a fascinating journey, seeing how these two completely different MCPs come together. It really drives home that smart modernization isn't always about ripping and replacing the old stuff.
Not at all. It's about cleverly and securely exposing the best parts of that old system, its architectural security, its high fidelity data, to the powerful disruptive capabilities of the new world, like governed AI agents.
And that integration, especially using the Model Context Protocol, really signals a shift, doesn't it? Security isn't just about firewalls at the edge anymore.
It's shifting significantly towards contextual security. Security enforced at the moment of interaction, based on the context, with mechanisms like elicitation providing that critical human backstop. Which leaves you, the listener, with a really important question to ponder.
Go on.
How is your organization going to strike that balance? The balance between the incredible speed and potential of AI development and the absolute non-negotiable requirement for mandatory human confirmation for elicitation whenever truly critical data or systems are involved. Finding that balance is going to be key.
Food for thought, indeed. That's all the time we have for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.